Man, listen, at the end of the day, we gotta talk about shit. If you don't talk about the shit, you won't deal with the shit. You gotta cope. A lot of us cope negatively, some positively. But you gotta talk about it. And talking about it sometimes opens up the window to just get through it and realize you're not the only one. Thou must cope.
My first question for you is, growing up, what was your relationship with the loved one that you lost like?
So growing up, my relationship with my mother, at the beginning stages of my life, dysfunctional. So my mother was in my life probably until I was about the age of 5. Or maybe a little bit less than that, because she had went to prison for attempted murder. So once she went to prison, I ended up becoming adopted. And so I ended up living with my adopted family, but my mother would keep in contact with me and my siblings.
Oh, wow, that is so interesting. So, I know someone that's adopted, so I'm not going to say, like, that's the interesting part. But was that, like, a rough patch for you? Did you kind of transition well? Or, like, how was that communication aspect? Because it's like, you know, I guess you were young enough to know who your mother was and know your mother, but at the same time, you know, you're being placed in a different environment, still kind of keeping in contact with her, but at the same time, she's not able to be the same mother that she would have been physically.
I'm not sure if, I don't know how to explain it. So for me, my mother was a drug addict. So I've always known she was a drug addict. So I knew that going into the adopted situation, which there weren't complete strangers. So my adopted mother was technically my biological mother's stepmother. So she was technically a relative, but not a biological relative. So with my mom being absent, she still would call. So that's one thing that I always respected about my mother, because no matter how deep she was in the streets, she would still call and keep in contact. So I kept in contact with my mama, I want to say, up until I was about 20. Yeah, until I was about 20 years old, I had talked to my mother on a consistent basis. And I actually stopped talking to my mother on a consistent basis once I became a mother. Ironic, right?
Yeah, that's very ironic. Wow. So, like, okay, that's very interesting too, because I will say, like, big ups to your mom in that level, because most people that I know of that have dealt with a family member, mother, parent, guardian that is a drug addict or just heavy in the streets, it really doesn't matter. It could be gang activity, it could be prostitution, it could be drugs, like it could be anything. A lot of the times that relationship is shaky because the communication isn't there. Like, a lot of times people don't even have the clear head to be able to communicate. And like, I could understand how being a child, it's like, dang, how you can't even communicate with me. But when it comes to drugs, things can get really shaky. And that, I don't want to call it a level of discernment, but that part of things sometimes leaves. But to know that like your mother was able to keep in contact with you and did so for a lot of years is very good. Like, and I have to say, like, big ups to her, because I really have never heard anything like that before. But then for you to say that you cut off that communication when you became a mother is also interesting. Do you feel like you becoming a mother like changed y'all's relationship or how you viewed your mother?
No, actually, I didn't cut off the communication. My mother actually cut off the communication when I became a mother. So it was very odd. So my backstory of with me and my mother. So I have one sibling, but I was separated from my one sibling when we were about probably about the ages of 7 and 8. We were separated. His biological dad came and got him. And our mother was, you know, living up north, back up north where we were originally from. And so my brother ended up going into juvie, things of that nature. My mother was up north still, so my mother got to communicate with my brother. And then I stayed in communication with my mom. But it's something about when I became a mother, she kind of fell back. I wasn't quite sure as to why. And we never really got the opportunity to have that conversation. So, but my mother was able to get to know my brother's children because they lived in the same city as she lived in when she passed away.
Oh, wow. I just feel like that's going to be my response to everything. And I'm not trying to make it like that. But that's interesting.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've seen that happen where, you know, the communication can be cut off on that way, but it is kind of interesting. And it can also be sad too, because it's just like, you know, like understandable that she had that relationship with your brother's children, being that they were physically closer, when it is at the same time, it's like, you know, sometimes you want closure and not being able to get that closure, especially when it's just like, I mean, well, we'll never know. Like, you know, that person isn't here anymore, so that conversation can't be had. Or my child doesn't have a relationship with my mother. Like, I feel like, you know, that might be tough to kind of cope with, you know?
It is one of those things that it can be kind of tough to deal with. But by not being raised by either one of my parents, my biological dad or my biological mom, I learned early on in life that sometimes, you know, you can only change the things that are right directly in front of your face. You cannot change other people's actions. You cannot change what people's reactions are going to be. And I learned that sometimes you have to love people for who they are. And unfortunately, some people are just fucked up. Like, you know, not to say that to be funny, but some people are just fucked up. And you just have to love them for who and what they are. You just have to accept it because you can't change it. And you will eventually, you know, drive yourself crazy, or you will develop or start to have insecurities when you start to wonder why this and this and that. And sometimes there's no answer. Sometimes it's simply they just fucked up.
You ain't saying nothing but a word. Like, you are so right. And like, I wish that's something that I could have learned a lot earlier. That's something that I like literally learned last year. Two parts to it. I learned the whole, like, you know, like, basically don't allow what you can't control to take control over your emotions type thing. I learned that when I was in college. My ex taught me that. And I was just kind of like, okay, like, he will constantly be like, you know, like, why are you stressing me? You can't change that, you know, like, don't let that take control over you. And it's not nothing that you control. Let that shit be or whatever. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? And then I was just like, you know, that is facts though. Like, if it's nothing that I control, why I can control, why am I getting all panties in a bunch over this shit? But then the other side was like, last year I was finally able to learn the whole accepting people for who they are, because people are going to be who they are. And like you're saying, some people are literally just fucked up. Like, you can sit here and wonder why somebody did you a kind of way all your fucking life. You can cry about it, you can come to them about it, but it might not change the situation at all. Or, you know, you just really got to accept people for who they are. One, because those things might not change. And then two, because who's to say they give a fuck about it changing? Like, it's just so many things that goes with that. And I'm glad that I've been able to accept that. Because if you do accept that, if that person does change, you can be good because you already accepted a shitty ass person of them. So, you know, the change is over. Like, oh, well, okay, I'm glad that happened. But if it don't, you still good, instead of it literally taking control of you emotionally. Because if you don't do that, that shit will eat you up.
And that's so true. So when you dwell on things like that, it's like you start to have a lot of self-doubt. And a lot of times you don't even need to doubt yourself, because you never know what another person's situation is like. a lot of us, I've noticed, like a lot of people that I know don't know their parents' story. Like, you don't know what happened to your parents to cause them to be the type of person that they were. Like, so say, for example, like if your, you know, your mother or your father was abusive, do you know if they were abused as children? Like, me personally, because I wasn't raised with my mom, I don't know exactly what my mom's story was. The only part I do know is, like, my dad was my mom's ultimate heartbreak, right? So my dad was the only man she loved. My dad was the man, you know, that she had gave her all to. He was married, you know, so I am a, you know, a mistress baby. And I think that was part of the reason of why my mother stayed away. You know, my mother always, you know, she always would say that she was proud of me. But at the same time, I could tell that I reminded her of him. And so it took me becoming grown, having my own baby and going through different things and not saying what she did was right. But it took me to live life and experience different things in life to realize, like, you know, when you brokenhearted and somebody continues to, or something continues to remind you of what broke your heart, like, that's some hard shit to deal with, you know. Now, granted, I don't believe in the whole thing of just throwing your baby to the side, but you never know what the mental capacity of other people are. So I know that sounds kind of harsh.
No, I definitely agree, though. Like, and you know, I honestly say, personally, I believe it takes a certain amount of hurt for you to understand that perspective. You know, like, people that, and this can sound so fucked up, but people that aren't used to trauma, traumatic things and hurt and dealing with their own shit and then the repercussions of other people's shit, they might not be able to see that side. But that shit is true. It's like, you know, like, yeah, not trying to say throw your baby out of wayside or just be like, oh, you remind me of this. Fuck it. Somebody else gonna have to take care of you, or I'm just gonna deal with you when I feel like it. Like, no, that isn't right. But you can't tell someone how to cope with their own problems. You can't tell someone how to deal with their trauma. And you don't know how a person is dealing or if they're even dealing. And you have to be kind to that part. And like you said, like, that's a whole nother thing in its own, because I am one of those people. I don't know my parents' story. You know, my parents have told me little as, oh, when I was this old, da 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 da, but I don't know what has made my parents who they are today. And I honestly think that being an adult, because most people don't grow up, most Black people don't grow up in a household they can have that conversation with their parents when they're younger, regardless if their parent is physically living there or not, then it becomes a stay in a child's place boundary. But being an adult, I think having that conversation will bring so much clarity to your childhood. You know, so much clarity to who you are, who your family is, and why things are the way they are. But those things are often just not talked about. It's just, this is how I am. You grow up to be like, why the fuck is my mama so evil? Why the fuck is my dad so abusive? Why is my aunt on drugs? Why every time this happened, this person jumped? Or why they quick to snap? Why they so sensitive? But literally, everybody is a product of what they have been through in their environment. And having those conversations with your parents, especially, I feel like could be a freaking game changer for you to understand the person they are, and also understand even the things that they might have did to you that you don't necessarily feel like was right. And not to say that they are right because they've been hurt, but it'll make you understand a little more. Like, I can understand why you used to beat on me or some things, because that's all you knew. Was it right? No. But it makes sense why you operated the way you did. And now it makes me look at you and realize, okay, you're not just evil. You were operating from a place that you knew. You know, like, you were doing what you knew how to do. Like, even the people that their parents, they can grow up in a house one day, like, my mama never told me I love you and all of this stuff. And that shit sounds so fucked up. Like, how could you not tell your child I love you? And then you find out, like, oh, in my mama's household, they never said it. This, it never said it. Or whenever they said it, it was after abuse. So now she don't use it. And it'd be like, wow, now I can look at my mom and know that she did not tell me this because she didn't love me. But she was literally parenting me the best way she knew how.
And that's so true. But that's why I'm, like, such an advocate about Black people going to therapy, because therapy is a great awakening to learning about the fucked up shit about yourself. Like, we all have something fucked up about us. And therapy can really bring out why you do things, and coming to peace with the fucked up things about yourself. And it gives you the chance and the opportunity to kind of change that about yourself. So I completely understand. And I think, like I said, me becoming a mother has opened my eyes to a lot of things. And especially like with my mother dying and passing away, it really made me want to make sure that my son knew what my story was, but also that he, that the generational curse does not repeat itself. That has been my biggest thing. Just, I do not want the generational curse to continue on, you know, on my family's path, because everyone, you know, prior to me, my brother, my mother, they fucked up. Like, that's just the nicest way to say it. And they, like, they fucked up in more ways than one. Mentally, physically, they just a different kind of breed. And the good part about that is, by me being adopted, I ended up still being fucked up, but not as fucked up as I possibly could have been.
Yeah, it's like you're saying, like, although it was kind of like a relative but not a relative, it still gave you a different environment, so it allowed for some change to be there. And I definitely agree with the therapy thing. Like, the therapy thing, the whole reason of me going to therapy was for me, like, realizing, okay, like, I want to come to peace with all this shit, and I want to be able to deal with it, heal, and grow and reparent, because I don't want to continue acting like how I act, regardless of who is triggering me, regardless of who I don't understand, because I can't force them to go to therapy. I can't force them to change, but I do have control over me. But you did bring back up your mother and her passing. So I did want to ask you as well, if you're comfortable, could you walk me through, like, the day that you found out your mother had passed, or up until that moment, if it was a buildup, of course, with the details that you're comfortable with, that's not too triggering. So that could be as many as you like, or as few as you like.
Okay. Excuse me if I cry, but I'm gonna do my best to walk you through it without getting all soft and shit. But so I am a, I want to say I'm a, I don't want to say I'm a very religious person, but I am a very spiritual, person. And of course, you know, I think, you know, with spirituality does come some form of religion. But so the week that my mother had passed away, earlier that week, like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I kept being woken up like in the middle of the night. And I normally sleep, you know, through the whole night. But every night I kept waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, every night. And it was like, it wasn't like just being woke up, you know, like I was hot or something, but I was being woke up like with fear, like no nightmare. I didn't have a nightmare, but it was just like the spirit of fear was in my room. Right. So I didn't know quite what it was. I felt like it was God trying to tell me something, but I didn't know it was what he was trying to tell me. I thought it was more so of a, you know, get your life together kind of thing. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday go by. I'm waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm just like, all right, God, whatever it is that you're trying to tell me, I'm listening. You know, I'm listening, I'm prepared for it, you know, whatever it is, I'm here. So Thursday, you know, everything is fine. I go to work on a regular day, go back home. I didn't wake up that night, but it was just an eerie feeling all day Thursday. I get up, go to work Friday. I go to work that Friday, and I'm at work. Everything is cool, and I had made a post on social media earlier that morning. I was like, you know, it's been laid on my heart. You know, God's been waking me up, and I'm just saying, whoever it is, or it may be me, you know, but God is trying to speak to someone or speak to me in this season, you know, da 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 da. And so I posted that earlier, and I went on about my work day. And I get a notification on Facebook around 11 a.m. And I'm like, I go on Facebook, and I'm like, and it says, my sincerest condolences. And I'm like,
whoa,
what the fuck is this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck is this? No one said, like, it was your mom or nothing. Like, and then all of a sudden, after that one post, my Facebook starts to flood with, sorry for your loss, sorry for your loss, sorry for your loss. Da 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 da. And then I started getting calls on Facebook. And I'm like, who the hell is this calling me on Facebook? Again, I wasn't raised with my biological mother, so I didn't really know my biological family like that. They were around, you know, I knew of them, but I didn't know them. So none of them had like my personal number. We were only social media friends. So I keep getting, you know, calls, and I'm like, all right, so I'm thinking, you know, something might have happened to my brother, something of that case. So I step off of my work floor. I'm trying to go, like, to the bathroom to take the phone call. And I answer the call, and I'm like, hello? And before I could even leave out of my desk, they was like, your mom is dead. No,
oh
no, like, forewarning or nothing. It was just like, your mom is dead. You need to come back home. And I'm like, in wow. shock. And so I couldn't even get off my work production floor. I just collapsed. And that was my first time I ever experienced a panic attack. So I just collapsed on the floor. And I'm kind of like a very conservative person to a certain degree. But I just couldn't hold it in, and I just busted out screaming, just off the top of my lungs, just screaming in the office. And so everybody's looking like, what the fuck is wrong with her? And so I'm like, my mom is dead. And so my supervisor comes over, and she like picks me up off the floor. And I'm like, you know, like in church where the person done fell out in the spirit. And I'm just like, you know, oh my God, you know, I'm just mad extra. Like, I just can't get myself together. Take me now, Lord, you know, extra shit. So I finally get into the conference room, and I'm talking to my supervisor, and I'm like, I knew something was going on, because prior into the week, I kept getting this feeling of fear. This feeling, it just kept coming in the middle of the night. And so I was like, I knew something was getting ready to happen, but I was not prepared for this. This was not what I was telling God I was okay with. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
I was okay with telling God I'm getting my life together, not tear my shit apart. And so, which it later on became me actually really getting my emotional life together. So I finally gathered myself. No one would really tell me the details of how she passed away or whatever happened, but they were saying, my family was saying, you need to come back home to Detroit, because no one can resume your mother's body, and her boyfriend is trying to cremate her. So we need you to come here, because he's trying to say that they're married and they're not married, and your brother has a warrant for his arrest. So he cannot tell the police his name, because my brother is my older sibling. So he technically was her next of kin. But due to my brother having a warrant for his arrest, he couldn't give the information to resume our mother's body. So I had to leave work. One of my coworkers took off of work with me, and I went straight to Detroit to resume my mother's body. So once I got to Detroit, I later on found out that they said that the 4 days that I was saying that I was feeling that feeling of fear, she had been missing for 4 days. And wow. The day that she came home was the day that she passed away. So I don't know if it was God, like, you know how they say people have soul ties?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was like a soul tie being broke.
Wow, that's a good way to think of it too. Like, because I would have called it like telepathy, but I get what you're saying too. Kind of like breaking that chain at the moment, and that's why it was tugging on you so much.
Yeah, but it was very weird because her boyfriend, which we thought he was her husband, but they were old school married, you know, not legally married, but we gonna say we married.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Yes, and for future references, for anybody out there, don't do that shit because if you die, the shit is gonna hit the fan. But that's neither here nor there. But once I got there, they wouldn't let me see her body. The coroner had already came and got her, so I requested for them to do an autopsy on her. I ended up trying to do the funeral arrangements, but I wanted to go inside her home to see where she had passed away. But her boyfriend didn't want me to go inside the house. He wouldn't let anyone in the family come inside the house. It was a lot going on with that. We later on found out that she might have been dead sooner than what he said she was dead. So even though I got the call on Friday, they think that she may have been dead before Friday. Because he had her body by a heater. And so he claimed that he had left the home and she was fine when he left home. And then he came back and she was dead. But they both have like history of drug use and things of that nature. They met each other. They met each other when they was on the streets. And they, my mother's boyfriend or husband or whatever you used to, or whatever you want to call him, he used to be her trick, but that's neither here nor there. So
yes, mama.
Yeah. Like, and they got high together and stuff like that. So in setting up her funeral arrangements and things of that nature, my family didn't want to have it in a church. I think I was more devastated after her death than I was about her death. You know what I mean? Like, the sequence of things that happened after she passed away was more devastating to me than her actually dying. I found out a lot of information after she passed away that caused me to really have to go to therapy and talk to somebody about it, because it was some things that I really could not wrap my mind around because it just didn't make any sense. I still to this day feel like her boyfriend murdered her, but because she was a constant drug user, they just kind of wrote it off as a drug overdose. They didn't go into like really trying to find out what happened to her because she had cocaine in her system. So they just said that she died from a drug overdose. They don't have an exact date and time when she died or anything of that nature. So there's a lot of things about my mom's death that is unknown and unfortunately will continue to be unknown, because being wrapped up in everything that was going on after I got her, after they told me she died from a drug overdose, I went on ahead and agreed to cremating her. So that's something that I have to live with, because now, even if I would like to, like, you know, resume the body or whatever, she's cremated. So any evidence or anything of that nature is gone. So.
Well, and you know, like, I'm so sorry for your loss. I don't want to bypass that part. And thank you for sharing your story. And it's crazy because as you were talking, like, red flags were coming up in my mind, like, oh my gosh, I hope the boyfriend or husband didn't do anything. Oh my gosh. Because, like, you just saying, like, the way he was acting, like, he's like, cremator. Then it's like, oh yeah, nobody can come in the house, which, don't get me wrong, like, there could have been things in that house that people weren't ready to see. But at the same time, it's like, look, at this point, we just lost somebody. Fuck all that shit. We trying to get to where we're trying to get to. We need some answers to be, you know, given and everything. And, you know, in all of my heart of hearts, I hope he didn't do anything to her, although it'll be something that'll never be answered. And I'm definitely glad and proud of you for going to therapy and recognizing, and even if you weren't the first to recognize it and someone had to push you, that you needed to take that step. Because a lot of the times we want the answers to things, but we're not really ready for the answers to things. Like, you know, like, sometimes, although it can hurt to not know stuff, whether you want the answers or you just don't know it or whatever, that shit be seeming painful. But then when you find out the stuff, that shit can really rock your fucking world. Cause it's like, what? Well, why this? And like, I really can't come to terms with it. And, you know, realizing that you needed help breaking that down and also making sure you were good, because it really could have turned into like a complete spiral to find out whatever those things are that you found out that were kind of too much for you to cope with. And so I definitely commend you for taking that step, because a lot of people won't or are scared to, or like, especially in our community, the Black community, you know, that shit is taboo. Like, see a therapist, what you need to see a therapist for? You got family or you got friends and all of that stuff. And then I feel like now we're in a time where people are talking more about therapists, but now it's like a joke. Like, people are like, oh, dog, that's all y'all say. Go see a therapist, because a therapist is going to fix your fucking life. And it's like I be saying all the time, I don't think y'all realize that therapy is not like how it is on TV. It's not, oh, come here and tell your whole life and they're gonna sit here and just give you a fucking instruction manual of what to do to fix it. Like, no, like, it's literally a journey of you understanding yourself and helping fix yourself just with guidance. It's just like when, you know, a child might be learning something when they're younger, like you might be learning to cook or anything, and they're doing it by themselves, hand for hand, instruction for instruction, but the adult is there just in case they need help, just in case they have a question, and things like that to just guide them in the way. It's the same type of thing. Like, you know, you have that support to help you. And then also, like, one thing my therapist had to teach me when I first started therapy, like, I will never forget my first day of therapy. I was crying like a motherfucker. Like, I went in there like, yeah, I'm happy. As soon as I sat on a chair, I'm just like, and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, where did this come from? Although I was going through a lot at the moment, but my therapist, like, had to let me know, like, it's going to be some hard days. Like, some days are going to be really hard to get through. But my main goal for you is, even if you're going to open up, I need to make sure that I close you back up before you go back into the real world. And I'm like, what? And like, she really had to teach me how to ground myself, because she was like, you know, sometimes you can open up more than you thought you were ready for, and you don't want to go back into the world vulnerable. Like, you know, in here, this is your safe space for you to open up, get that closure you need and everything. When you walk out this room, you back with people, they might trigger you, all of that shit. And I need to make sure that you'll be able to make it after this, because if not, maybe we need to take things slower at a time. And that's when I really realized, like, yo, this therapy shit is not a joke. Like, it's really a method to the madness, and I really need this. I don't need a friend that's just gonna listen to me vent and then we get off the phone and I'm here miserable as fuck just thinking about all of the things going on in my life and all of that. But I don't want on a tangent anyways. Like I said, like, I really commend you for sharing the story, and I'm very thankful for that. And I could just only imagine how that was like to be on social media and people just start commenting on your wall, like, sorry for your loss. Like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Then the way that you got the phone call too, just so harsh, so aggressive, like, your mother is dead. Like, what? Like, nobody deserves to be told like that.
Exactly. But my family is very cutthroat. They are very black and white people. You know what I mean? There's no gray area. They kind of say it like it is, shit, and if it hurts your feelings, oh, fucking well. You know what I mean? They kind of like, I would rather hurt your feelings with the truth than to disrespect you with a lie. And that, and my family holds steady to that, to say the least, because I know, well, I can go into, like, some of the things that happened after she passed away to kind of cause me to go to therapy. Because my mother's death, it was crazy. So my mother's death caused me to lose all my friends. And when I say all my friends, I am no longer friends with, but no one that I was friends with when my mother passed away. And that's including the best friend that I had for like 9 or 10 years. My mother's death cleared my closet, to say the least. But it was very crazy for me because I lost the love of my life, which is what I consider my mother, and I met the love of my life in the same year. And my life has did like a just complete 180 since then. So when my mother passed away, half my family didn't know who I was. 90% of my family didn't even know she had a daughter. And not only did I have to go down there and pretty much pay for my mother's funeral, which financially a sister wasn't ready because I was a single mother. So I wasn't ready. But not only did I have to like pay for the funeral arrangements, my family was like really bossy. They didn't want it to be in a church because they wanted to go up there and be able to say whatever they wanted to say. Like, the funeral within itself was fucking traumatic as hell. I think the biggest part about my mother dying is I learned that I thought I was okay and fine with a lot of shit until I had to face it. You know how, like, sometimes we sweep stuff under the rug? And when we sweep it under the rug, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. So I thought, you know, I had been single for 5 years, right? I had been single for 5.5 years. And I'm like, you know, I'm on my shit, you know. I'm making the most money I've ever made in my career. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing good for myself. I'm doing good for my kid. I got me a new car, new place. Like, I'm bossing up. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, you know, I done healed and I'm going on this healing journey. Like, you know, not necessarily I don't need a man, but, you know, when I find a good man, I'm going to know it. I'm going to see him. I know what I want. I know what I offer. I know my value and all this other stuff. And then when my mom passed away, I was like, fuck, I'm still fucked up. Like, don't tell me, God, I got to go back and fix some shit that I dealt with, you know, at 7 and 8 years old. Like, you know, I fixed grown me. I just didn't fix the child in me. So like when my mom passed away, like I said, half of them didn't know she had a daughter. Well, the majority of them didn't know she had a daughter. Then we get to the funeral. Anybody that know anything about my family, like, they ghetto, and they a different kind of ghetto. So in my adopted family, I'm the black sheep because I'm too ghetto for them. But in my biological family, I'm the black sheep because I'm too bougie for them. So I'm like bougietto to them. Uh-huh. So I didn't fit in with either side of the family. So when she passed away, it comes time for the funeral. We're going into the funeral home and everything like that. And I had to give my mother's eulogy, which was horrible. My brother was like an hour late for the funeral. My cousins was in there with club dresses on.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, girl, when I tell you it was a fucking mess, it was a fucking mess. So everybody wanted to get up and share stories, right? Anybody that knew my mama was, like, my mama was a trill ass bitch, right? Trill. So My mama was the type of person, she'll say whatever she wants to you and give zero fucks about it. Like, it is what it is. She's the type of person that will cuss you out and then be like, "So you hungry?" And so we get up there, we're sharing stories. Everybody goes up there, they're sharing stories, and they're like, "My Auntie Angie was always there for me. She took us to the soup kitchen, just crazy stuff. People that she used to like get high with, smoke with, they would go up there and share like good stories of, the good old days and how she'd give you a shirt off her back and she'll do for you. And then, my brother gets up there and he share about how she was there for him. And my uncle gets up there and he talks about, and she had just turned 50 that same year, how the whole family came out for her 50th birthday. And it was right then and there at the funeral. Like, I was like, damn, I don't have no memories of my mother. Like, everybody have all these good memories, all these good times, and I don't have shit. I have, like, I can't get up there and be like, "Oh, we went to the soup kitchen together." I mean, even though that shit sounds crazy as hell, but it
That's
was
still a
something, you know what
memory,
I'm saying? I couldn't get up there and say, my mother did this for my son, and my son was my mother's first grandchild. Like, but my mother raised my brother's children. I can't even get up there and say that because my son's first time meeting my mother was in her casket. The first time I seen my mother in 10 years, no, 11 years, was in her casket. And my aunt said some real fucked up shit to me that I just could not wrap my head around. My aunt said to me, "I'm so proud of you because you came here and you laid my sister to rest. You gave her the best funeral and she ain't give a fuck about you."
Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh my gosh. I want to cry. Like, I be a little sensitive sometimes, but that's just, I just can't
She never
imagine. Like,
wanted you. And it's amazing how the only child that she did not want did this for her. The child that she thought the sun and the moon rose and set on his ass couldn't do shit for her in her death.
and hearing something like that, I just feel like it just gives me mixed feelings because it's like a compliment, but it's also like a slap in the fucking face at the same time.
It's a
And then it's
backhanded
like,
compliment.
what the hell? Then it's like, you have to sit here and it's like, I'm laying my mother to rest, but do I want to have ill feelings toward my mother as well? Because you telling me some shit like this, like, it really will make you just rethink a lot of shit. Like, what?
Girl, like when she said that, I was like, the ghetto person in me was like, "Fuck all this shit. I flip. I air this motherfucker out." Like, but again, the mature person in me, the woman that I had become, told me that you have to accept people for who they are. And at the end of the day, my mother never lied about not wanting me. Let me say that. So I always grew up knowing that she didn't want me. Like, my mother used to tell me the story. Like, my mom had thick sense of humor. So my mother used to tell me the story, like when I was younger, how she tried to do an at-home abortion. She was like, "Girl, I was stressed out. I love your daddy. That nigga didn't want me. And I tried my best to get rid of your motherfucking ass, but you just wouldn't go nowhere." And she was like, "Girl, I tried to take you out of here with a hanger. And your
Oh,
black ass just fucking stay here. I tried to do all the fucking drugs I possibly could to get rid of your ass, and you stayed there. So motherfucker, you supposed to be here." And that's how she used to be like, when I get to crying about like, "Why can't I see you?" And imagine hearing this as a child and you're like, you're 6 and 7 years old and someone is telling this to you. And she's like, she was like, "I tried my best to get rid of you and you still here. So bitch, that means You're supposed to be here. No matter what, you survive. That's what you do. You survive because you a motherfucking survivor, because I did everything in the beginning to get rid of your ass. And so I had to take that piece with me because it's like, well, shit, she said I survived. So at this, you know, at this point, I've been through far worse shit in my life, you know, so. Well, look like we got to survive, right, Marcy? You know what I mean? Right.
She been telling me I got to do what I got to do and do what I've been doing since I was not even born.
Yeah. So my family was like really on some crazy, crazy, crazy shit. And so you would think that that would be the worst of it, but that really wasn't even the worst of it. So we finally get on through the funeral or whatever. Her boyfriend goes up and he's, which is part of the reason why I still think that he tried, that he did do something to her, because he tried to put a ring on her finger to take pictures of for the insurance company to try to prove that they were married.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy shit. And so, and then he says to me, I'm going to give out crack rocks to all her friends. Because Angie's last dying wish was for everybody she used to get high with to get high one more time on her. And he proceeds to pass out crack rocks at her funeral to all her old people that she used to get high with. It was the most like, you can't make shit like this up.
But it's like the ratchet in me, and drugs is a serious thing. So anybody that's listening, like, please don't take this as a way to fuel your addiction. But at the same time, it's just like, damn, that's some real shit. Cause that's some dumbass shit I would say if I was like on drugs or whatever, doing drugs. I'd probably say it to a lower level because shit I do is just not that extreme or whatever. But at the same time, it's like, damn, you really gonna do that shit at the funeral? Like, fuck where we at, fuck what's going on, just fuck it, right? Just up here, one for you, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, basically, like, fuck this shit. One last high on her, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, if we was on some street shit, if we was on some hood, you know, ghetto shit, it'd be like, hell yeah, that's some real ass shit, but niggas is out here that lost their mama. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first time I'm seeing my mama in 11 years, and she's dead, and she just had her 50th birthday this year. Everybody was invited to the party except for my black ass, and I'm sitting here like boo-boo the fucking fool making all these damn funeral arrangements, and I'm just like, y'all niggas don't give a fuck. Like, y'all don't even care. So then after the funeral's over, you know, they done disappeared with a crack rock. And then, you know, my family's in the parking lot of the funeral home, and they got all the liquor bottles out. You know, this for my motherfucking auntie, this for my cousin. And they pouring the liquor out. They passing out shots and stuff. They done lit up blunts and stuff. And, you know, and they, like, my family throws a party for every fucking thing, yo. Like, you home from prison, let's throw a fucking party. Shit, you graduated elementary, we throwing a party for the fucking kids. Like, they throw a party too. For everything. And you would think, like, okay, somebody died, we're going to do a little repast, and we're going to sit the fuck down. No. They threw a huge-ass block party for her. Like, for her death, they had it at, like, a motorcycle club. They had strippers. Like, that's why my cousins was in damn club dresses at the funeral, because they was going straight to the party, the repast party afterwards. Like, it was very traumatic for me because I was sitting there, like, devastated. Like, my mom is gone. Like, I would never see her again. And it's like, it's so many unanswered questions that I wanted to know, you know, all these years I've been trying to see you, and you've been making up excuses for me not to see you. You know, I'd be like, I'm coming home to Detroit. I'm gonna fly out this weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like, can I stay at your house? And she's like, no, you can't stay here. Or she'll be like, oh, I'm gonna come see you and my grandbaby this summer, and she never come. And then eventually, you know, she just stopped answering the phone. So I guess it's like, you know, I don't want to see you, so I'm not going to answer the phone. So part of me coping with it was me just telling myself that maybe she was ashamed. You know what I mean? Because she would always say, like, I'm proud of you. Like, I'm proud of you. But, you know, but I was like, well, if you're proud of me, like, why the fuck I can't see you? You know what I mean? But, like, some of my cousins, you know, eventually told me, like, your mom used to always brag about you. Like, your mom would come and tell us, like, you know, you got a supervisor position in North Carolina. You just bought a new house in North Carolina. Your mom just told us you got a new car. You know, like, my mom was doing all this bragging to all the family there. But I'm like, well, shit. I wish I would have known. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get to talk to her, so I didn't know. So, and then she kind of didn't really want me to make build rapport with my family. She didn't want me to get to know them. So I had to, like, get to know everybody when I passed away. When she passed away, because I didn't know who was who or anything. You know, I had just known a few cousins on social media. That was it. I had never met my grandmother, well, other than, I guess, when I was younger. But I didn't even know my grandmother enough to, like, really know who she was. And then she died a year later. So she died in 2019, like, almost a year date from my mother's death. It was a lot. Like, it was a whole lot. So I had to really go to therapy, because it's like, I had to make peace with some shit that I would never get to know why she never invited me, you know, to come back home and visit her. I would never know why she did for my aunt's kids, and she raised them kids as if they were her kids and didn't do shit for me. I would never know why she, you know, provided for my brother's kids and never met my son. My mother had only had about 2 conversations with my son his whole entire life. Like, those things I would never know, because death sealed those answers for me. You know what I mean? When she died, all those answers went with her. And so I really needed to go to therapy, because it's like, what do I do with this now? You know, like, what do I do with the unknown? Because, yeah, I know I can't change it, but that still don't mean that the shit ain't fucked me up. And then I'm also sitting here battling with myself, because I'm trying to figure out, why the fuck am I crying and I'm upset about a motherfucker that never did shit for me? Like, she ain't never did nothing for me. So why am I so devastated? I had to, like, really get myself together, you know what I mean? And I think that's why I lost all my friends, because all my friends knew, you know, my mother was a drug addict. They knew my mother was never there. They knew, you know, I was, you know, raised in an adopted family. So they were trying to figure out, like, bitch, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you, you know what I mean? And so my friends couldn't be there, or wasn't there for me the way I felt like they should have been there for me, you know, especially because I was always there for them. I guess because they just couldn't. Let me say this. I've always been the quote-unquote ghetto friend in all of my friend scenarios. So majority or all of my friends have always came from, like, two-parent homes, middle class. So they never really understood the struggle, you know what I mean? Or at least what it was to struggle. They never understood what it was to have a relative on drugs, or a parent on drugs, or an absent parent. They never understood that. So I think that they just didn't know how to be there for me. But in the time that I was going through it, I was just like, y'all giving me y'all asses to kiss. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Don't nobody fuck with me. Like, I was on some angry, you know, some angry black woman shit. Like, don't nobody give a fuck about me, so fuck all y'all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and this, like, what I was on, like, all y'all can kiss my ass. Like, all y'all can go to hell. Fuck all y'all. So, and I just stopped talking to everybody. Like, I was just like, fuck y'all. Because if your mama died today, like, I would be there for you. But my mama dead, and just because I ain't know her like that, y'all niggas like, come on, let's go party. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
mm-hmm. But it's like, you couldn't wrap your mind around it. They can't wrap their mind around it, because it's like, I mean, you didn't even really know your mom. Like, I understand you're sad, but why are you so sad? It's so touchy. And, you know, like, grieving and mourning can be so weird. Like, person to person, it varies. Relationship to relationship, it varies. Like, you literally never know. Like, you can be completely close with someone and they pass, and you can feel at peace. Not like, oh, I'm glad that they died, but like, oh, wow, you know, I knew it was coming or whatever, or like they've gone to that place. Then it could be some person, it could be somebody that you only had class with in high school, and that shit really fuck you up. And you over here like, why the hell am I so fucked up? Like, I literally just, someone that I went to high school with actually passed about a week and a half ago. And she had brain cancer. So it was
sad.
Yeah, so sad. And it literally, like, she got diagnosed like the year after we graduated high school or whatever. And since then, like, her mom has just had to take care of her because she, like, pretty much lost all mobility, couldn't talk, all of that stuff. And so, yes, I knew she was sick, but when they posted on her page like she had passed, I'm like, excuse me? Like, we young. Like, she 25. Like, what? And anybody can go at any time, but that shit, I'm just over here like, she ain't deserve that, bro. Like, she ain't even get to live. Like, she got out of high school, got brain cancer, and just had to stay at home. Like, what the fuck? And that shit fucked me up. And I was over here like, do I even have a right to be mourning like this? Because besides commenting on each other's page or whatever for the last few years, we ain't seen each other since high school. We just used to have class together. Why am I so fucked up? But you can't tell nobody how to process anything, because you never know what comes with that person's death. And sometimes even someone dying can trigger shit that don't have nothing to do with them too. So it can be really confusing, but I also understand it being confusing on the supporting side. It's literally like one of those things that I just feel like we don't talk about enough to see how to support people. And then people want to do this whole like, oh, you changed ever since. Damn fucking right I changed. That shit fucked me up. Like, yes, I have changed. And where were you? Nowhere to fucking be found. You sent your condolences text and you text me, asked was I all right? I said, yeah, and you believe me. What the fuck? Like,
yeah, it's like, bitch, you supposed to know me better than that. You exactly. Ain't all right.
Literally, like, that's literally exactly how it be. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what do you expect the person to do? It's so touchy. And I was glad you brought that up too, because that was gonna be like my last question. Do you feel like you had the support you needed to cope? And then I will want to ask, like, being that you have experienced this, what's some advice you could offer to someone that has experienced something similar, that's gone through a family member or like a parent passing away, and even those that are on the outside that want to support that person?
I would like to say that I've coped, but in reality, I really don't think that I have. I've been so used to being on survival mode, you know what I mean? Like, just survive. So my process of going through traumatic stuff, because my therapist told me that I've been through so many traumatic things in my life, that my therapist was like, you on the edge. You can't really afford to experience anything else extremely traumatic, because at any moment in time, you just might lose your shit. So for me, I don't have the luxury to mourn. I don't want to say I don't have the capability, but I just don't have the luxury, because life went on, and bills had to be paid. I had to be a mama. You know what I'm saying? I can't, you know, I can't sit and cry when, you know, I can't, you know, sit in the dark and cry and not go to work and not eat and not get up and not function because I got to feed the baby. I got to keep a roof over his head. I got to make sure he's straight. You know, I can't sit and just, you know, just be, oh my God, well with me, my life is fucking over because shit needed to be done. You know what I mean? So I would like to say I cope with it, but in reality, I probably haven't. I just made up in my mind that I was just going to get the fuck over it. I know that sounds like really fucked up to say, but yeah, that's how I cope with it. Just get the fuck over it. You can't change it. It happened. Yeah, it's fucked up. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do about it. There's so I can't just sit and drive myself crazy with the unknown. I had to force myself to make peace with it. You know, I'm fine until I get to like really talking about it, and then I get emotional, or her birthday comes around, or her death date comes around, and I get really sad. But due to the day to day, I'm cool. You know what I mean? So I can't really say like how to cope with it. I guess experience whatever emotion, like really let yourself experience each emotion that you have. If you're angry, be angry. If you're sad, be sad. You know, if you're confused, be confused, but just remember that you can't sit and dwell on it. You know, you can't sit and wallow in it. You have to pick yourself up because, like my mama said, it's a dog eat dog world and only the strong survives. So wipe your tears and do what the fuck you need to do. And what was your other question?
That's facts. That's facts. And I know like somebody can be like, well, damn. But like sometimes you do need that tough love. Like it's okay to feel. You need to feel. But you can't allow that shit to take over you. At some point you have to take control. And the other question was, what advice could you offer to someone that's trying to support that person? Or like, for instance, what is something that you feel like you needed your friends to do for you? Anything like that that could help someone that's trying to be that support system for someone but doesn't know where to go? Like, you know, do you call people? Do you not call people? Like, what do you do? Or is there anything that you can do? Do you just gotta let them go through that shit on their own? Or
no, don't let nobody go through it on their own. And the reason why I say don't let anybody go through it on their own, because in my own personal experience, I have come to the conclusion that when you heal on your own, you want to be on your own. Does it make sense? So don't allow a person that you love to process anything bad on their own. If you can be there for them in their positive moments, if you can be there for, you know, job promotions, you know, anything uplifting in their life, you need to be there 10 times more when some shit hit the fan. And when I say be there, sometimes being there does not mean talking. Sometimes being there just means just sitting there listening. Like, to be honest with you, I really didn't want nobody to, like, call me and be like, you know, I'm sorry that this happened to you. I didn't want anybody to call me and be like, do you need anything? I just wanted somebody just to come over to my house and just let me cry. You know what I mean? Like, I was always the strong friend. I was always the strong person. So where do the strong people go when they feel weak? Who do we vent to? Who do we cry to? Whose shoulder do we lean on? And so sometimes you just need to let a motherfucker cry. Don't say nothing. Don't give your 2 cents. Don't give none of your advice. You know, don't be like, it's going to be all right, because that's the worst fucking thing you can tell somebody when somebody done died. Everything going to be all right, because right then and there in that moment, they don't think that everything's going to be all right. They feel like they feel like life is over. So sometimes you just got to sit there and just let a person cry. As awkward as it may be, you know, as uneasy as it may feel, but that's like the best thing you can do for somebody. Just be there for them. Don't trust people when they be like, oh, I'm all right, because depression does not have a look. Depression does not have certain actions. Depression is anything. You can be the happiest person in the world from the outside and be the most fucked up person on the inside. So never let a person be like, oh, I'm all right. Yeah, this bad thing happened, but I'm all right, because no one is all right when something bad happens to them. No matter what they say, they are not all right. If something traumatic has happened to a person, they are not all right. And they may not be all right for quite some time. You know, it's been 2 years. It was 2 years in October when my mother passed away. It's been 2 years because she passed away in 2018. And I'm still not all right. Like, I'm still fucked up behind it. You get what I'm saying? Like, the grieving process is long. This is the longest shit that I've ever experienced. Like, grieving is longer than you breaking up with, you know, someone you thought you was going to spend the rest of your life with. Like, I'd rather go through breakup heartache than to go through grieving somebody. This shit is for the birds, to be honest with you. Like, it is emotionally draining. It is mentally draining. And then you feel guilty for still being sad about it, because you don't want to, like, fuck up other people's mood. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be like, well, I'm sad today. I don't want to come calling my friend and crying because they happy and I don't want to fuck up their mood. But, like,
I don't want to be a burden.
Yeah, right? I don't want to be a burden. But, like, I feel like real friends will be there for you. And, like, me and one of my most recent friends, we came up with, like, a text code. So if I'm sad about my mom, I'll text her, like, a little, the emoji, the umbrella emoji with the rain, so that she'll know, like, what my mood is for the day. So, and some, like I said, you just be there. Just listen. That's the biggest thing you can do to help a person, is just listen. Like, I think that's why therapy is, like, so great, because they just sit and listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just let you get out whatever you need to get out. And literally, you can go on as many tangents. And next thing you know, you talk about something completely different. And it's okay. And you don't really realize how much you need to vent until someone gives you the opportunity to just listen. I mean, gives someone presents themselves as the person that will just listen. And you made a really good point about being there, because I think people take being there too seriously. Like, I don't need a fruit basket. I don't need tissue. I don't need a fucking pat on the back. I don't need you to hug me and make me cry. Like, I mean, sometimes you do need those things, but sometimes you literally need somebody just physically, even if I'm not going to sit and just cry here, just having your presence makes me know that I'm not alone. So I'm cool with you just sitting there. Just come sit with me, bro. Like, that literally can go a long way. Like, I had to teach someone that when it came to, like, my depression, them asked me, like, well, what can I do? And I'm just like, you know, I don't fucking know, but sometimes I literally just need you physically, and I don't think you understand that. Like, you being there physically allows me to get through it, because I realize, okay, like, you got this, you're not alone. Like, that energy exchange alone can do so much for a person. Even if they do need to just cry, even if they do need to get it out, like, knowing, like, okay, like, I'm gonna be okay. This person right here got me. I can count on this person. I can lean on this person. They're supporting me in this moment. They don't gotta say shit. They don't gotta do shit. But literally seeing them there, feeling there, knowing that there is, it's worth the world. And I don't think people realize that. Like, your physical presence can just do so much for a person. And it's okay to let someone know, like, you don't know how to be there for them too, because there are some people that can tell you what they need. It's some people that's like, I just need to have good times. Like, I know sometimes when I get depressed, that's what I need. Like, let's go out. I need to go out and eat. I just need to get out of the house. Like, and then go out to eat, we sit there, we ain't talked about shit. And I'm like, ooh, I feel so much better. Like sometimes that happens. And sometimes that, you know, the person doesn't know, or they're not able to provide that. And just being there physically can do so much for a person. But you also saying the whole, like, nobody's ever okay. Like that shit is a lie. That shit is so true. And if they feel in their heart of hearts that they're okay, they're even more not okay, because now they've numbed themselves and don't even realize that they're feeling, or don't even know how to put that emotion with a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally detached. And that's how a lot of people, and I've noticed a lot of Black people do that. We emotionally detach ourselves from situations, and then they be like, oh, you know, I'm cool. That didn't bother me. But in reality, like, that shit bothers you. But I think all Black people got a form of PTSD, but that's a different conversation.
I definitely can quite agree with that one. But I did want to go ahead and close this thing out. And so I did want to open up the floor. If you don't have anything to say, that's completely fine. But is there anything that you like to say to the audience, want the audience to know, or just one closing remark? If so, this is your time.
So I guess my closing remark would be, get help. If you feel like you need help, get help. Therapy is a great tool. Even if you think everything is okay, even if you don't have anything bad going on in your life, therapy is a great thing. And I feel like we all should utilize it. And a lot of times, our jobs provide it for us, but we don't even know because we don't even research it. So I think that we all should do at least, you know, a couple of sessions of therapy. And your employer, a lot of employers provide therapy. You just have to ask. So if anybody has any questions about therapy, you should hit your HR up at your job or someone at your school, because they provide counseling. A lot of people provide counseling free of charge.
And she's absolutely correct, because here goes my employment little thing I'm about to put in there, because I actually work for an employee assistance program. And like a lot of people don't know that. Like, so definitely hit your HR. They can get you up, get you to the right phone number. And typically you can get 4 to 8 sessions for free before even having to get a charge, like yearly. And I mean, sometimes they'll even stretch that out. And then after that, if you still need counseling, they'll try to find something within your insurance. And then there's also low cost options as well, and sliding scale. So like, y'all, if y'all need the help, get it. It's out there.
Yes, and therapists that are actually still in school, counselors that are still in school, they are half the rate of people that have their license. So like, for example, like when you go to like the doctor's office and like someone is doing an internship there, so they have counselors that do internship, and they are literally half the cost of a licensed professional. But they are under the guidance of a licensed professional if money is an issue after you have exhausted, you know, all your free sessions.
Thank you so much for the information.
Listen, listen, listen. Nah, seriously, thank you for listening to Valma's Cope. But I'm gonna need you to do a little something. Subscribe, follow, whatever the hell, so you will not miss another episode. And then also give me your feedback. You know how you go to the grocery store, you go to get fast food, and they be like, please do the survey. Okay, no, I've become that woman. Rate me. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can rate me at, go ahead, rate the podcast, leave a comment, shit, do something. And also, if you go to anchor.fm/ThouMustCope, you can also send me a voice memo. Give me some feedback, and I promise I'll add it to one of the episodes. Peace.